Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt. It's not basketball season, but we have a full roster. 15 roster spots available, 15 roster spots filled. The final ad was a couple of weeks ago. Another guy that reclassifies from the 2026 class to 2025. This guy's name is Evans Barning Jr. He's 6'7" and he's from Toronto, Canada. What do I know about Evans Barning Jr. besides that? Not much. I mean, he played in AAU for Team Durant, Kevin Durant. So there's a good chance he's talked to Kevin Durant before. Kevin Durant may have told him things about how to play basketball. Kevin Durant's tall, taller than Evans Barning Jr. Probably shared some good knowledge. What else do I know? Toronto, Canada. There's basketball players that are really good that are from Canada. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Good at basketball. Canadian. Steve Nash. Really good at basketball. From Canada. Has Evans Barning Jr. met or talked to either one of those guys or played basketball against one or both of them? Probably not. But, you know, Canada's gigantic, but there's not as many people in Canada as there is in the United States. So I'd put the probability as high, and that can only help a basketball player if you have talked to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander before. Or cross paths, or know a guy who knows a guy who knows Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Not a ton of highlights for Evans Barney Jr. on the internet. Did not have a 24/7 rating. The limited things I've seen on YouTube, lots of finishing alley-oops, lots of transition buckets where he's dunking it or laying it up, lots of putbacks. I saw one mid-range shot that looked nice. Can't imagine he'll contribute a ton this season. But you got to fill the roster. And Ross Hodge, mark it off the list. He's got 15 guys. 13 are scholarship players, including Evans Barning Jr. And of those 15 guys, there are 7 freshmen. 2 of those guys are walk-ons. But still, 7 out of 15 guys on this roster are either freshmen who reclassified, just normal freshmen, or redshirt freshmen. And that's a lot. There's also 7 seniors, which is a lot, and that's how many seniors West Virginia's averaged since Deuce left for the NBA in the last 4 seasons. We're averaging about 7. There were 8 last year. And as far as freshmen, this is the most that I can count on a roster since the 2011-2012 season, senior year of Truck and Kevin Jones. That team went to the NCAA tournament. Big differences between what college basketball looks like in 2012 and 2025. Lots of transfer portal guys on this roster. I don't think a ton of these freshmen, I would say 2 to 3 freshmen see substantial minutes this season, which is a big difference than what was expected of the freshmen in that Kevin Jones year. But I don't think any freshman on this roster will be starting on opening night. And if more than 2 to 3 freshmen are getting substantial minutes this season, that is not good. That means this season has went off the rails. Now, are we 2 seasons removed from a season going off the rails immediately? And is that a good feeling to have 2 of the last 3 seasons go off the rails? No. Do I think that's going to happen? No. Has it happened recently? Yes. Has it happened under Ross Hodge? No. Not at WVU. But without knowing, how do you know with a whole new roster what it's going to look like? just from a number standpoint, 7 freshmen is a lot. And you go back to Beeline's first season, a bunch of freshmen are playing. They're building something. Not a ton of building these days. So how many of those 7 guys will be on the roster next year? I hope there's more than one. I hope the 2 to 3 freshmen that get substantial minutes stick around for year 2 and we can build something. But that's a lot to ask for. I think successful teams do build. And that's what I'd like to see from Ross Hodge is build. Would I want 7 freshmen on a roster where you can have 15 players? I wouldn't. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. We also have a full non-conference schedule now. So full roster, mark it off. Full non-conference schedule, mark it off. Talked about the schedule in the last episode. Had some of the teams, but not all. Here are the blanks that we filled in with the full non-conference schedule. The first time we'll get to see this team play, Sunday, October 26th, Coliseum. Wheeling is coming to the Coliseum. So UC, University of Charleston, came last year. This time it's Wheeling. I like that. Good opportunity to see what this team is going to look like against a Division II team. 9 days later, West Virginia starts the season with a team who won a game in the NCAA tournament. And for the 4th time in 13 seasons, which feels like a lot, Mount St. Mary's comes to town for the opener. And Mount St. Mary's, they won in the first 4 game, got slaughtered by Duke. But this is a team coming off an NCAA tournament win and appearance. That's who West Virginia starts with. Lafayette comes to Morgantown on November 17th. And that's in between the Pitt game and the trip to Charleston, South Carolina. Lafayette won 13 games last season. That's not good. Coppin State comes to Morgantown on Wednesday, December 3rd, and they, last season, were 361st in KenPom, just a few spots ahead of last place Mississippi Valley State, which is also coming to Morgantown. The final missing schedule piece, the Little Rock Trojans, they come to Morgantown on Tuesday, December 9th. So 13 games on the non-conference schedule. We know them all and the order. Only 2 are happening on a weekend in Morgantown. And both of those games are on Sundays. There is a Charleston Civic Center game on a Saturday. So if you don't live close to Morgantown, is 7 midweek Coliseum games great for trying to make a trip up to Morgantown? It is not. And I fit in that boat. I'm going to do everything within my powers to be there on December 22nd when they play the Mississippi Valley State Delta Devils. That's a Monday night, but it's the one game I have circled on the non-conference schedule is getting to see West Virginia play Mississippi Valley State. But not great if you don't live close to Morgantown. It is an ideal schedule if you're a new head coach and you have a completely new roster to play Mississippi Valley State, to play Coppin State, to play Campbell, to play Little Rock, Lafayette, Mercyhurst. These are games that are good for a new roster and a first-year head coach in town. Good opportunities to see how you can experiment with lineups in those games. And you mix in some challenges. There are tests on the schedule, but they're sprinkled around games that should be wins. So we know the schedule. It finishes with a bang with the Delta Devils. So there's some good and bad with the schedule. Not great if you're not close to Morgantown. The team doesn't care about that, or the coaching staff. They're trying to not get into Big 12 play with a 500 record. And I don't think they will with this schedule. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful
with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You're listening to this podcast. You're a WVU fan. You go to Uncommon Goods, type in West Virginia University. They've got drinking glasses. They got a throw pillow. They got, you can get a cheese board in the shape of West Virginia. All sorts of cool stuff. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. This is a basketball podcast, but I have to weigh in on Rich Rod coming back to coach the Mountaineers. In the year of our Lord 2025, Rich Rodriguez is back, and there's so many new players. I mean, yeah, basketball has a completely new roster. Shout out to Abe. I'm going to count you as part of a brand new roster since you redshirted last year. Football, it's like, what is it, 70 new guys? 7-0? Enjoy that, football fans. Just, I had a hard time with 13 last year. Figuring out 70-some new guys, I wish you the best in that. They're all going to be wearing, I mean, you'll know who they're playing for. And they're going to put the names on the back of the jerseys. So, like, you'll figure it out. That's all good. So many new coaches. So many coaches in general. I mean, football, each position's got a coach. There's probably an assistant to that assistant. There's a chief of staff. Like, it's a government. There's a lot going on. There's an ice cream machine. So much happening. But season ticket sales are up. It's the prodigal son returning. There's a lot of excitement about Rich Rod coming back. I am not a football guy. And it's hard to predict, even if you are a football person, how season one is going to go with Rich Rod with that many new players. But I've been looking at the roster, looking at the schedule, and I think there's three things. If you had to boil it down, three factors to determine how Rich Rod season one WVU is going to go in the return. The first question is, how well will this team hold the rope? You played tug of war when you was a young person, if you're an old person like me. And when you're doing tug of war, everybody's got to hold the rope. People start letting go of the rope, then you're probably going to lose. And in football, everybody's got to hold the rope. All 11 guys, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, regardless of the play, what they're doing on the field, mentally, everybody's holding a rope. And the guys off the field, the guys on the sidelines, everybody's holding a rope. And you got to have everybody holding the rope, metaphorically speaking. You got a bunch of new guys and the coaching staff. Everybody's got to be holding. There's one rope. There's three phases of the game. There's only one rope. And all of the available hands need to be on the rope. And you can't drop the rope. And everybody knows this. You don't have to know football. You know about ropes, and it's not a jump rope. It's like the rope, you know? There's ropes on boats, and you got to hold them. And we're going to know it's not a great season if you're watching the game and you're mentally thinking, is every hand available on the rope? And if you're even thinking about that, it's probably not a good sign. So we got to see how well this team holds the rope. The second factor is how well will this team spot the ball? You hear it all the time. Spot the ball. When you're on defense,
it doesn't matter. At the beginning of each play, a ball is spotted. At kickoff, somebody spots the ball on the tee, and then they kick it. Every other play, the ball is spotted. You spot the ball, and then you can run a play. Once the ball is spotted, then I think you can go. But it starts with spotting the ball. And so we're going to find out, and I think we'll find out early. The first game's against Robert Morris this Saturday. And the ball's going to be spotted. And how fast will the ball be spotted again? We're going to find out. I think it's going to be pretty quick. Rich Rodriguez is talking about tempo, fast-paced. Maybe not all the time. Maybe mix it up. But tempo starts with the beginning, which is spotting the ball. And on defense, how often is the ball spotted there? I don't know. And does West Virginia have control over spotting the ball? Maybe a little bit. You know, you get it to the referee fast enough so they can spot the ball. You're allowed to grab the ball and spot it yourself. I think the ref has to touch it before the ball to make it officially spotted, right? So you have limited, but there are things you can control. If the ball is dead or if you're close to the ball, if you can get the ball to the ref as soon as you can, do that. And we'll see if this team does it. I'm sure they're being coached that. So we're going to find out how well this team can play with how they're spotting the ball. I mean, it feels obvious, but every book has a first page. Every story has a beginning. And every play in football starts with spotting the ball. We'll see how they do with that. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket. And then the third factor, I don't know how much it's being talked about. What kind of edge will this team have? And not like an edge for their experience or an edge in talent or an edge in football IQ, how much you know ball. Like, what kind of edge do you have? And what kind of edge do you play with? And I think there's a scale with edge. Just like with lots of things, there's a spectrum, right? And on one side of the edge spectrum is soft, okay? So, you know, don't stop driving your car if you're in your car driving. But, like, mentally, have a spectrum, have a line. And on one side, on the left side, just mentally think soft, okay? Soft edge. Not really a football term. That maybe it is a football term, but it's not something that you want to be defined as having a soft edge. It's almost, can you have a soft edge? It's like rounded off. You don't, that's one side of the spectrum. The other side of the spectrum is hard edge. And what this factor, as far as this is similar to holding the rope, this is something. It's hard to quantify, but you'll know if there's where this team's going to be on the spectrum. And I'd say average for football is in the middle. Just, you know, the middle of the spectrum. And I think the way Coach Rodriguez talks about how he wants his teams to play, you better not be in the middle of the spectrum as a whole. And each of the groups are going to have different edges, right? But in the aggregate, if you put all the numbers together and then put a dot on the spectrum, the
the closer it is to the end, the closer it is the hard edge, if they have the hardest of edge, then I think that's going to translate into wins and success. And brother and sister, if they are to the left of the center, if they're closer to soft edge than hard edge, then it's going to be a long season. And you don't want that. You don't want soft edge. It doesn't even, I never played football, only watched it, don't know what's happening when I'm watching football. Touchdowns are good. Field goals are bad. Field position. Like, I know all the terminology. I just don't know anything about football other than, with most sports, have more points than the other team. So as far as quantifying the edge, I'm sure Rich Rodriguez will be asked, like, to take the temperature of the edge of the team. You don't want to go over the edge. That's the other thing. With the spectrum, there are endpoints. I think you can actually be too hard edge because then you fall over the edge and you fall into the abyss, right? So there is a limit to edge on the spectrum. You want to be right at the end of hard edge. Don't go over. How many teams has Rich Rodriguez had that have been at the edge of hard edge? I don't know. I know that's what he's shooting for every year. Just don't be on the left side. And don't be in the middle. I don't think Rich Rodriguez is going to be pleased with a team that has balanced edge. You don't want balanced edge. Maybe in life you do, but not in football. We're looking for maximum hard edge. And the closer we get to the end of the spectrum, not over, the better we'll know if this team is going to be good or not. So those are the three factors. What will WVU's football record be this season? They play 12 games, win 6 of them in year one. To me, and other people will say it does matter how many games they win this season. 6 is good. It'd be great if you win more than you lose. Regardless of the win total this year, everything points to year two. Expectations, regardless of how it goes this year, are going to be high. And things will be determined on, does Rich Rod have it or does he not have it? But I don't think you can determine that in year one with so many new players and dozens. I mean, are there hundreds of coaches? I don't know. If you told me there was 100 coaches, that would not shock me. That one coach per player, I don't know what the rules are. But with this many new faces, to expect success immediately feels a little strong. But the factors are going to remain. Are all the hands on the rope? How often are we spotting the ball? And what kind of edge? And is it the hardest it can be? We'll find out soon. And we'll find out about basketball after that. It's coming. We're getting there. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms. Or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts. YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. WVU for the 2025-2026 basketball season, they have 0 wins and they have 0 losses.